welcome you to another edition of Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New York Giants. I'm Bob Pop. I've got my Hall of Famer, Harry Carson, by my side. Two-time Super Bowl champ, Carl Banks, and Super Bowl champion, Howard Cross. We want to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas. We've got the top 10 things you need to know about the Giants showdown in the desert against the Arizona Cardinals on Christmas Eve. Let's take a look at our menu board. We'll be joined in studio by interim head coach Steve Spagnuolo. Carl Banks will go to the coach's tape, break things down in our strategy segment. We'll hear from Sterling Shepard. He coming off a 100-yard receiving game against the Philadelphia Eagles. Dominic Rogers-Cromartie as well. During the course of the program, we'll break down going against Larry Fitzgerald, the outstanding wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals. Plus, we're going to look back at the 2007 New York Giants winning Super Bowl 42 and some of the amazing things that happened behind the scenes of that championship. But to get things started, item number one goes up on the board. We call this no huddle. 25 seconds go on the clock. Santa is checking if you're naughty or nice, so keep it to time, Mr. Carson. You can tell it's December, can't you?
You know, Bob, guys, every offseason I run into fans who ask, how's the team going to do this year? And I always say, I'll tell you in December. We are standing on the precipice of this team actually having the worst season of its history. It's very difficult for me as a former player to see this, but that's where we are. And I'm glad that I didn't throw out any predictions to any of the fans after this past earlier this year.
Yeah, the New York Giants have never lost 13 games in a season. This is the fourth time that they've lost 12. They got to sweep the last two to avoid losing 13 games in a season. All right, Carl, be on the bridge.
Yeah, be on the bridge. Be a bridge to success, building success. And, you know, now is the time. It's no better time than now to start getting this team back on track so the players that are playing now be a bridge to success.
Santa Claus is packing that sleigh. He's getting ready to deliver toys. Howard, you're thinking about a late game.
Well, you guys have been talking about, you know, the 13 losses never happened in history, how bad it is, be a bridge. But they get a gift in the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals aren't a very good team. This is your chance to go out and eclipse one of those wins to keep you from having that 13 loss season. If you're playing a bad team, don't be bad. Take the gift. Take a win.
Yeah, they're starting their third-string quarterback, Drew Stanton, who happens to be 1-0 lifetime against the Giants. And they are an offense that has a lot of bad plays in it. So the Giant defense got to take care of some opportunities here. And Arizona does have a good defense. Time to put item number two up on the board, being a pro. So, guys, take me into the player's mindset here, right?
You better ask these guys. I'm so far removed.
Well, but listen, you play. The coach got fired. Eli comes back in. You're playing the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Home. You get easy to get up for. Philly's coming up the turnpike. You get all those Eagles fans in the building. Easy to get up for. Now you're getting on a plane. You're going to Arizona, and you're playing a bad Cardinals team.
On Christmas Eve.
Is this where you find out who the real pros are? As far as who brings their game. It was easy to have the intensity the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Let's see you do it now this week against the lesser opponent.
You know what? I just sort of look at this game as just another game and an opportunity to go out and do the best that you can do. I mean, you got a lot of injuries. You got the distraction of Christmas preparation and so forth. You're getting on a plane. You're going to Arizona. They're playing at home. They have the same distractions, but they're not coming this way. So, you know, it's one of those games that, you know, Arizona hasn't been playing well. The Giants haven't been playing well. So who's going to take the field and who wants it more?
Last week, the consolation of success that they had in losing will give them some incentive to go out and show that they can build on that.
And I also think that this is really another opportunity for Coach Spags to get these guys to rally around him. I mean, they've already seen the effects of what happens when you don't go out and play to the best of your ability. You lose your GM and you lose your head coach. Well, Coach Spags is a player's coach. And if they can't get up to play for Coach Spags, then something is definitely wrong.
Let's take a look at all the Giants programming throughout the course of this Christmas weekend. Of course, Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop, makes its debut on Friday night with three airings. Saturday night, Minot, 11 o'clock, it's Giants Access Blue, presented by Toyota. Then Sunday, Giants Chronicles at 10 a.m. presented by New York Presbyterian. Another Giants First and 10 right after that. And then Giants Postgame Live presented by Mercedes-Benz. Incidentally, on Giants Chronicles, it focuses in on the two coordinators, Kevin Gilbride and Steve Spagnuolo. Speaking of Coach Spags, when we come back here on the program, the interim head coach of the New York Giants will join us as we continue with Giants First and 10 presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Networks. Welcome back to Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Networks. Time to put item number three up on the board. As always, the head coach of the New York Giants joins us. Steve Spagnuolo settles in for this week's conversation. So we talked in the last segment of the show. It's one thing for the guys to get up. You know you're going to get up against Dallas. You know you're going to get up against Philadelphia. Did you have to do an extra sell job traveling this week, playing a team that's not the Cowboys or the Eagles, division rivals?
I didn't feel like that. I mean, look, it's an NFL game. Anytime you get an opportunity, a chance to go out there and perform as a team and, you know, get that feeling at the end of the game in the locker room, anytime you have that opportunity, I think guys get geared up. So it's been, you know, business as usual. I think the guys reacted pretty well.
Last week, there were a lot of good things in that game. Can you build on that? Do you sense that the guys felt great about some of the things they did well?
I believe that, and we talked about that on Wednesday. I don't know if that outshined the disappointment.
Sure.
Everybody's kind of, we're all hungering for a win, so that part's difficult. But I agree with you, Kyle. There was a lot of good to take away from that. I mean, the end of the half, the end of the game, our offense functioned, I thought, great. Eli did a nice job. We scored at the end of the half to get us ahead. Mm-hmm. I think people forget that. I know the first half went back and forth. We were ahead big, and then they came back, so it didn't feel the same. But I had to remind them in the locker room, we're ahead by 2 points. Mm-hmm. And the drive at the end was great. I think another thing that gets lost in the shuffle is after we missed the fourth down play, we're still in the game with three timeouts. And the defense went out there in what we call a four-minute drill, mm-hmm. and stopped them, got to punt the ball, and we had two shots at the end. So all that's positive. I like the way the offense functioned with the tempo calls. You know, we talked all week long about the value of a four-yard run and a five-yard completion, mm-hmm. and how if we could get some yards after catch, it would make a big difference, and it did. So there is enough to build on. I agree with you on that.
All right, so you go to Arizona, you take on the Cardinals. So they've used three quarterbacks, Drew Stanton, Blaine Gabbert, and Carson Palmer. Does it make your preparation more difficult, or they run kind of what they run?
Yeah, that's what I believe. I mean, I've gone against Bruce Arians before. You know, he's got a good system. It's multiple. I believe he really wants to throw the football, although they function best when they're doing both like every other offense. So when they get the run game going, that's when they can be a headache. But, you know, they're three wideouts, they're four wideouts. I think they'll let Stanton just do what they've been doing. So we're basically defending the scheme.
So in defending that scheme, there are some guys that I call scheme breakers. A guy like Larry Fitzgerald, who in a tight spot can come up with a big catch. You got guys, three receivers basically, that can just blow the top off your defense. What are the concerns there? Because with Larry Fitzgerald, he's as good as anybody in route running, making himself available to the quarterback, and coverage is not quite enough with him sometimes.
Nah, he's a real pro. I was fortunate enough to be around him at Pro Bowls, and just love the guy. And we know how great of a player he is. Yeah, we talked this week on defensively. This is a what we call a Where's Waldo game. Mm-hmm. In other words, everybody's got to know where number 11 is.
Sure.
D lineman, everybody. But the speed on the edges that you're talking about, Kyle, is a real concern because one of the main focuses in any game is to eliminate explosive plays. We certainly don't want to have explosive passes. You know, we're able to do that in two games against Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And they had one pass over 20 yards. Now the points went up. We don't like that. But we have to be concerned about him on every down, yet not overcommit too many people because we're still going to stop the run game. But certainly when they get the third down, they look for him a lot. We've got to find a way to take him out of the game.
Coach, final question, 10-year anniversary, Super Bowl 42. Now, as head coach of the Rams, you went into that building every year in your time there, plus 2008. Yeah. So has the sentimentality of it kind of worn off when you step on the field?
I don't know. We'll find out when we go there. it's funny you say that, Bob. We did go back there in 08, and you felt it then. And then you're right. I was in and out of there and have had some good games and some not-so-good games. But I don't know. We'll see. I'm not sure if we're in the same locker room as we were when we won the Super Bowl or not. I can't remember. It's been so long since we've been there. But we'll take the karma. If it helps us win a game, I'm good with it.
We appreciate a couple minutes. Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Same to you guys.
Steve Spagnuolo joining us here on the program. So lots to get into as far as X's and O's. Time to put item number 4 up on the board. To the coach's tape we go with Carl Banks and strategy.
The Cardinals, when they're on defense, they are very multiple-look defense. But here's one of their more basic looks, which gives you basically 5 guys to block 4. But when you look to the top of your screen, number 55, Chandler Jones, he is a relentless pass rusher, but with great mobility. And it's important, when they're rushing, you can't overcommit, because when they run this little game, you see 2 alignmen overcommit, and Jones has a clear shot to the quarterback. I'll run it back again. You have to have your anchors. You can't turn your shoulders as the guard did here, and he cannot come off of his block. It's not a man blocking scheme. It's a zone blocking scheme, and you've got to prevent that. Here again, Chandler Jones just using speed around the edge. Very long reach, very long rangy player. Offensively, the number one weapon that the defense has to be aware of all the time is Larry Fitzgerald, a great route runner and knows how to find the seams in a defense. He's at the top of the screen in the slot. You'll see just runs a quick double move. He's quicker than he is fast now at this stage of his career, but just a little subtle move, understanding how he's being played. He sold the outcut just to get back inside the numbers there. So when you have a coverage and it's inside, you've got to commit to being inside and don't be fooled out of it. Great route runner, great possession pass receiver. Larry Fitzgerald again in the slot. You'll see when I talk about finding the holes in the defense, and there's nothing there. He's got 4 defenders around him. Quarterback starts to scramble. Look where Larry goes. He finds an opening. He understands how the defense plays. And he just drifts into an opening and became available for his quarterback.
That was Strategy with Carl Banks, brought to you by PSE&G. We make things work for you. Let's take a look at Giants' 1st-and-10 programming grid throughout the course of the weekend. 3 airings on Friday, and then after Giants Chronicles on Sunday on MSG at 10:30 a.m. Eastern. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back on the program, we'll hear from Dominic Rogers-Cromartie. Take you inside the locker room with Paul Dottino as we continue with Giants 1st-and-10 presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Network. Welcome back to Giants 1st-and-10 presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Network. It's Christmas Eve. It's the Giants in Arizona to take on the Cardinals. Time to put item number 5 up on the board. We sent Paul Dottino into the Giants locker room. Get a little taste of what the Giants defense will be facing with a man who was drafted in the 1st round by the Cardinals way back when, Dominic Rogers-Cromartie.
So the Cardinals are on their 3rd quarterback, Palmer, Gabbert, now Stanton. As a veteran DB, how do you approach this predicament as to not knowing necessarily who's going to get all the snaps?
Oh, man, that'll be tough, but I think the main thing is it gives you kind of an edge, you know, that the quarterback and receiver timing is not going to be on point like that, so it gives you an opportunity, you know, to make some plays.
All right, let's talk about their speed for a second, because everybody says that's the one thing that they have over most other teams. Yes. You're a speed guy too, so maybe that's kind of even for you, isn't it?
No, not this day and age. You know, they got some guys that can really fly. You know, 3 of their guys is 4.3 and under. You know, one of them even ran a 4.2, so you can't account for that. I think the best thing you can do is get up there and try to be as disruptive and get your hands on. That's the only way you can stop speed.
Well, now I got to focus on Larry Fitzgerald. Now, he's an old guy, so they tell me at 34, maybe he's not as fast as some of those other guys. What makes him so special?
His ability to shield himself away from the defender and get it between him and the ball and his catch radius. I think he might not be as fast, but he still has his jumping ability, and you could just throw it up to him, and he goes up there, and he's grabbing balls out of people's hand, and his will to want the ball and to finish everything that he do, whether it's blocking or catching, man, I think that's what makes him the great.
You played with him for a few years when you came into the league.
Yes,
can you give me a little story? Let me a little battle in practice that
always.
Nobody knows about.
Oh, that's always, man. Me and him always pushing and fighting after the play. You know, his main thing was always get on top of me. But I can say that he made me a better player, because when I first came in, man, I was so fast and so athletic, man. He taught me that your athletic ability ain't going to always put you in position. And that's what I learned from him, that no matter how athletic I am, it's all about just understanding the game, and he taught me that.
Yeah, he's 34, and yeah. You're only 31, so that means you got at least 3 years to go, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I still got that speed on, you know, and I'm a little bit more mature in my game, so it'll be fun.
DRC, always a pleasure to talk with, and now Paul Dottino joins us here on the set, and obviously he's got a lot of respect for Larry Fitzgerald and what he can bring to the table, but what else do you get from the locker room?
Well, you know, I really want to talk more about Fitzgerald, Bobby, because you're looking at a guy who is in the top three or five of like every great category of all-time NFL stats, yet 4 touchdown catches from the red zone this year, Carl. I don't understand that, because with a guy who's got his size and his savvy, you'd think he'd have more of those.
Well, yes, you would, but you probably would have to look at what's going on offensively, how many times they're down there, who's playing quarterback, what's available to them on the field. And he's been a great blocker for them, even when he's not catching balls in the red zone. He's been a part of a lot of their offensive success, whatever they have. But I think it's just a function of just their unsettled nature on the offense.
I think it's the responsibility of the quarterbacks. You're just talking about they're on their third-string quarterback. You're getting back there. You're trying to figure out where the blitz is coming from or who's going where. And you just threw the ball down the field, like to one fast guy, to another fast guy. Am I going to throw it to a fast guy going into the end zone? Larry gets lost in some of that. And a younger quarterback or quarterback isn't the main guy doesn't have the same kind of, you know, communication and understanding, like, okay, I need to get the ball to Fitzgerald.
Let me follow up on that, Howard. It's interesting you mentioned the chemistry thing, because over the course of the season, Fitzgerald is averaging about 12 targets a game. And even in the 2 games that Stanton has played in, it's been just about 12 targets a game. If you're the coordinator, do you want to keep pumping the ball and calling Fitzgerald's number, or give Stanton a guy he might be more comfortable throwing to?
If it's me and I'm talking to the guy, I'm going to say, listen, number 11 is going to catch the ball.
That's everybody, who you better get comfortable with, right?
Everybody else
with number 11.
That guy going to be running really fast. You got to try to hit him, but number 11 is going to be open. Throw him the ball. That's what I would tell him.
Oh, man. Paul, good stuff as always.
Good to see you guys.
Merry Christmas to you and your family.
You guys as well.
Paul Dottino breaking it down for us inside the locker room. And good stuff out of Dominic Rogers-Cromartie. Still to come on the program, I'm going to take you on the road as we go back inside the locker room, find out how well the Giants know Arizona. Plus, Madeline Burke will be along with Madeline's mailbox. All that and much, much more as we continue with Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop. This segment of the program has been brought to you in part by the NFL Ticket Exchange, the only official ticket exchange of the NFL. Welcome back to Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Network. Still to come on the program, Madeline Burke will join us with the mailbox. We will talk with Giants wide receiver Sterling Shepard. In Extra Point, Art Stapleton goes one-on-one with Howard Cross, and Behind the Championship. We'll take you back to the Giants' week in Arizona leading up to their win against the Patriots in Super Bowl 42. But now it's time to put item number 6 on the board. Take it inside the Giants locker room on the road to Arizona.
The Giants are headed to Arizona to play the Cardinals. So in this edition of On the Road presented by United, we're going to see how well this team knows Arizona. JPP, you ready for some trivia?
Yes.
All right. Our first question. What is Arizona's most famous geographic landmark?
Grand Canyon. I don't get the ABC.
Well, we could. Well, no.
The Grand Canyon.
The Grand Canyon.
It is the Grand Canyon.
Pretty grand, right? Pretty
never been, never seen it.
Arizona has 5 pro sports teams. Cardinals, you guys are playing this weekend, is 1. Yeah. Can you name another?
The hockey team's Coyotes.
Phoenix Suns, yeah.
Got that
the
one.
Phoenix Suns.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. Hint. Diamondbacks.
There you go. Baseball. WNBA.
Oh, man. I have no idea.
Women's basketball team.
Oh, my favorite. What's the name of them? The Neptunes.
Major League Baseball holds what event in Arizona and Florida every spring?
Spring training.
In the spring.
The spring training situation.
When they do their training.
Spring ball.
Spring baseball, also known as spring training.
Yeah. Spring training.
Yeah. But like spring ball also. 10 years ago, the Giants accomplished something pretty significant in University of Phoenix Stadium. What was that?
Super Bowl 42.
Super Bowl. I just said it. I said the Super Bowl.
We won the Super Bowl there.
You were there.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah. It was a pretty big deal.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to brag, but, you know, it was a good time.
You don't have to know the number, but what happened? What's significant?
DT.
Oh, yeah.
On his...
Where he at?
I forget. Is he around here?
DT.
David Tyree showed up in Arizona, got right, beat Tom Brady. That's what it's all about.
Well, I feel like you nailed this trivia, so thank you so much for playing.
Thank you.
All right, good stuff with the players in the locker room. And Madeline Burke goes from the locker room and now joins us here on the set as we go to item number 7 and put it up on the board. It's time for Madeline's mailbox. And first of all, Madeline, that was a lot of fun with the guys. And they all got Super Bowl 42.
They did. Some of those guys were in 7th grade when that happened, too. It was definitely fun to hear them recounting that memory. But, yeah, so we go from that to
the mailbox
now. We've been checking the mail, and we've got a lot of mail from Giants fans this week. Our first question comes from Anthony, who wants to know, what do you think should be the biggest priority positions in the 2018 draft? Guys, if you're approaching this in a way from next season, what's your thought?
Well, I'm sure you're going to have to put offensive line in that at the top of the list, and linebacker, because they don't have many of those healthy either.
I don't think you necessarily need to look for anything specific. Just get the best athlete, because I think the Giants need a little bit of everything.
I think you're right on. I mean, you can't go wrong with linebacker. You can't go wrong with offensive linemen. You can't go wrong with
quarterback,
secondary guys, quarterback, safety.
Running back, yeah.
I mean, across the board, just add good football players.
You won 2 games, so that means there's a lot of opportunity there.
Room to add some more talent.
Yeah.
And some of the players that we've seen so far this season, Carl, as you've called flip card guys, have been out here. DeJate asks, you know, I've been impressed with Brandon Dixon. Any chance he'll stick around next season?
There's no talent.
Yeah, no talent. You know what? When you have
a new coach taking over and a new, you know, GM, you know, you really don't know who's going to be here.
And the thing is, he's not new to the league, but he was on the street in November.
Mm-hmm.
But what he's put on tape since he's been here will make a coach stop and look and say, hey, I like that energy.
Yeah, and whether it's here or elsewhere, perhaps he'll get an opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. What he's done and what he's put on tape will earn him a right to get invited to either the Giants or somebody's camp next year, an off-season program, to at least compete for a job.
Now, our final piece of mail in the mailbox this week is a Harry Carson fan. His name is Phil. And
nice.
He said, Harry, he's got your jersey from 1982. And Phil asks, you know, when did you know?
I was looking for that jersey.
Yeah. Phil asks, when did you know you had the NFL figured out regarding play calling?
You know, I played 13 years. And even my last game at the end of my 13th year, I was still learning. And so you never really have it figured out. It's an ever-evolving sort of process. And you can think that you know certain things, and football is more mental than people think. Ask Mr. Banks here. Mm-hmm. It's very mental, and sometimes, you know, you run up against stuff that you've never seen before, even in your last game. So I really have to plead that I still haven't mastered the position.
But you've gotten comfortable.
When did you get comfortable
learning to learn more?
That's
what it really comes down to.
You got comfortable with the gold jacket on
as
well.
Exactly.
So I think that's fair. It's
Super Bowl ring. So how can fans participate in the mailbox?
All right. Well, if you've got questions for these guys, tweet at us using the hashtag Madeline's Mailbox, and your question could appear on next week's First and 10.
All right. Merry Christmas to you and your family. We'll talk to you next week.
Yes.
Still to come on the program, we're going to be joined by Giants wide receiver Sterling Shepard as the Giants get ready to take on the Cardinals in Arizona on Sunday. All that and much, much more as we continue with Giants First and 10 presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Networks.
High step down the left sidelines. Touchdown, Giants! Sterling Shepard!
Welcome back to Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Network. Sunday afternoon, it's the Giants and Cardinals in Arizona on Christmas Eve. Time for this week's edition of our Player Spotlight. We put item 8 on the board. We focus in on Sterling Shepard.
Y'all back again.
Manning on a play throws one over the middle. He's got Shepard on the run. Breaks free across midfield. He's to the 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Sterling Shepard. Throws one over the middle. Caught by Shepard on the run. Manning throws one down the left sideline. And a diving catch made by Shepard. What a catch by Shepard. Manning's going to throw the deep ball down the left sideline. He hits Shepard in stride. Eagles rush four. Manning dumps it down underneath. Completes it to a wide open Shepard at the 40. Breaks to the left sideline midfield. High step down the left sideline. Touchdown Giants. 67 yards for Sterling Shepard.
Big plays for Sterling Shepard this year. Touchdowns of 77 and 67 yards just against the Eagles. Three 100-yard receiving games, and Sterling joins us right now here on the program. And you've had an opportunity here this year, obviously with Odell going down. Do you like being the number one guy?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, it's been rough for me for throughout this season. I've missed four games, so that was pretty rough on me. But since I've been back, it's been great.
Has it allowed you to see defenses differently now? Because when Odell's in, you know he gets the attention and the schemes go to him. But then the entire receiving core goes out and you're the guy. Mm-hmm. So are now you starting to see, okay, well, it's me and Evan Engram, and these are some of the things that I didn't see before?
I mean, it's not too much different, actually. I think teams have been putting one guy on me, and then I've been having to work with that. And with Odell and them being out, they kind of just went into their base coverage and been keeping it pretty simple for us. So I've just been having to beat one guy still, and that's been working out for me.
Has your preparation changed, though? Is something new for you when you're looking out there? Because I know when Odell's out there sliding coverage and then rolling guys over, mm-hmm. and it puts you in a different position. But now that it's just basic coverage, what are you working on most to get better?
Just kind of trying to recognize those coverages. I think that's the main thing for me. Pre-snap, just kind of seeing what's going on and just trusting what I see, pretty much.
So, you know, I give you a lot of lighthearted ribbing on, you know, sometimes not catching balls. Mm-hmm. And you made the most incredible catch in the Oakland game. You actually did a 360 to catch a ball that was thrown behind you. And I'm saying to myself, when I see him, I'm going to tell him, you can make those catches and then you'll drop a routine one. Talk about this thing that you guys have. And we know receivers catch the ball, and they want to catch every one of them. But it seems like there are some times where it looks like there's like a total lack of focus.
Yeah, I think that just goes back to catching the ball first. That's the main thing. And a lot of the times guys will be thinking about what they're going to do after the catch, and that's where it can get you. You think you're wide open or have an easy, shallow route, and you're going to make something big happen with it. And a lot of times you will, but that lack of focus and just concentration, it can get you sometimes.
So thinking ahead,
that's what.
Talk about the 360.
That was one of the ones we needed pretty bad right then to get things going in that drive. And I just had to kind of try to make a play right there.
The season hadn't gone the way anybody thought it would go.
Right.
You got two games left. What's on your mind? What are you looking for these last two?
If we can come away with two wins, I feel like that'd be great for the morale of the team. You know, it'd be great for the fans, too. I mean, they've been looking for a win, itching for a win, especially at home. So if we can give them that and give ourselves that, it'll give us a lot of oomph going into the next season.
They got a good secondary, right? They got
do.
Williams, veteran guy. Right. Patrick Peterson just made the Pro Bowl again. Mm-hmm. Honey Badger. When you look at them, what are some of the things they do really well?
Like you said, they're just experienced. So they know things are coming before they come, so we have to be on our toes and we have to make everything kind of look the same.
Well, you got a good quarterback to do it.
And we do.
He's good. fake out a few defenses. Sure. Hey, wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas. Thank you for joining us.
You all as well. Thank you.
Number 87, Sterling Shepard, having a big year for the New York Giants as the Giants take on the Cardinals in Arizona. When we come back on the program, Howard Cross goes one-on-one in our extra point with Art Stapleton. More than all that, much, much more as we continue with Giants First and 10 presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Network. It is time for Stats Plus, brought to you by Cash for Life from the New York Lottery. You can win $1,000 a day for life. 189. Last week, Eli Manning boosted his passing yardage to 51,287. If he throws for 189 on Sunday, he'll move past Hall of Famer John Elway and into sixth place all time. 345 since he made his first start in the 2013 season opener. Damon Snacks Harrison leads all NFL defensive linemen with 345 tackles. Former Giant Linval Joseph of the Vikings is second. 63, Evan Engram leads all rookies and is tied for fifth for all tight ends with 63 receptions. The New York Giants rookie tight end record for catches in a season is 74, set by Jeremy Shockey in 2002. And the number 49, Arizona has given up the second most sacks in the NFL this year, 49. Only the Colts have given off more with 53. As we welcome you back to Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Network, time to put item number 9 up on the board. We call this Extra Point. We welcome in Art Stapleton of NJ.com. And Art, Landon Collins, he wants to battle through. Is it a wise thing to play him?
I don't think so. I think the Giants have to protect Landon from himself at this point. You saw what happened last week. He goes out with the ankle injury late in the second quarter. I shut him down for the rest of the season. I know he's tough, but I wouldn't push the issue.
Well, I like that, but I think it's football. And Landon's a guy who's an old school kind of guy, and he wants to play. He's probably also wanting to get to the Pro Bowl. If you're on IR, I don't think you can go to the Pro Bowl. So I think he wants to do the entire thing and represent. But if he wants to play and he can do it, physically do it, let him play. That's what the game's really about, letting guys play.
Speaking of playing, Brett Jones has made the most of his opportunity. When Weston Richburg got hurt, he jumped in at center.
You know, it's amazing. I said to Brett Jones the other day, when I saw you, when you came in as a rookie tryout, I said there is no way that guy ever plays in the NFL. And I think now, looking forward, of all the guys, all the questions that the Giants have on the offensive line, I think the guy most likely to be re-signed and come back here and be a starter in his current role is Brett Jones. I've been very impressed. He's steady. He's not flashy.
Brent Jones has definitely surprised and shocked a lot of guys. The thing that makes him great is his great technique from his height and his size. He does it right every time, and you can't get by that nice foot movement, puts his hands in the right place. As long as he can stay healthy, he'll be around.
All right, the Giants have had a lot of success when they've gone to Glendale. They won out there in 2011. They won in the regular season in 2008, and, of course, they won Super Bowl 42. They got something else on the line this week, trying to avoid that 13th loss. The Giants have never lost 13 games as a franchise in a season. How important is it for this team to try to win these last two games and not become the team of record?
I think it's very important. I think Steve Spagnuolo has said that, look, we could all talk draft order, we could all talk number two pick, everything else, but this team, the leaders on this team, do not want to be known as the team that set a franchise mark at 13 losses.
You don't want to be on the bottom end of history, and you don't want your name to show up in that moment in history. So, yes, you're right. I don't think guys are going to want to do that. But before anyone brought it up, I bet nobody knew.
All right, final question. Wayne Gallman, he's gotten an increased role. Does he deserve a chance to be sort of the number one running back as far as touches?
I definitely think Gallman, as far as touches go, he needs to be the lead guy the next 2 weeks. I like Darkwa, but what Gallman showed blocking downfield on the Sterling Shepard touchdown against the Eagles, I think Gallman is the guy right now to show you that, you know what, in a combination next year, he can be a leader in this backfield, so I do like him.
Darkwa's a big guy, big, heavier body kind of runner. He's been good for most of the season doing what he's doing. Gallman is actually the guy that's been explosive, who's been dynamic when he's running the ball, and it makes a difference with the offense when this kid pops up through the hole and all of a sudden he looks like he's going to burst out and take it to the house. You need a guy with some finishing speed. Gallman kind of has that.
All right, we're out of time. Wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas, and thank you so much for joining us.
Same to you guys as well.
Art Stapleton going one-on-one with Howard Cross here on Extra Points. Still to come, behind the scenes of championship glory. We're going to take you back to Glendale, Arizona, 10 years ago. You know what happened in the game, but there were a lot of interesting things that went on during the week that led to that championship. That and much, much more as we continue with Giants First and 10 presented by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New York Giants here on the MSG Networks.
I'm not sure if we're in the same locker room as we were when we won the Super Bowl or not. I can't remember. It's been so long. since we've been there. But we'll take the karma. If it helps us win a game, I'm good with it.
If we can come away with two wins, I feel like that would be great for the morale of the team. It'd be great for the fans, too.
Every offseason, I run into fans who ask, how's the team going to do this year? And I always say, I'll tell you in December.
When they do their training.
Spring ball.
Spring baseball. Spring, also known as spring training.
Yeah.
That was the Geico Show recap. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. As we welcome you back, Giants first and 10, presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Networks. Of course, the Giants playing in Arizona. 10 years ago, that was the scene of the Giants win in Super Bowl 42. Now, you know what happened on the field. It's been well chronicled. But for each and every championship team, there's a lot of things that happen the week leading up to the game. Here's a look at behind the championship from 10 years ago.
As the New York Giants took off for their rematch with the New England Patriots in Super Bowl 42, their confidence was sky high.
We played in the last game of the season and played them right to the wire and felt we could go out there and win this football game.
One mindset. We going to Arizona. We're in the Super Bowl, baby. And we trying to go and win that thing and bring it home.
We didn't care that they were 18-0. If they were going to go 19-0, they were going to have to win a street fight, and that's what we had planned in Arizona.
AP had asked everybody to wear dark colored suits. And it was one of those deals because we were going to let their undefeated record rest in peace.
We're going here to bury a dynasty. Business as usual. Holla.
When the team landed in Arizona, the members of the national media who greeted them were given a bold prediction by wide receiver Plaxico Burress.
The true story behind this thing is we get to the hotel, and this guy, he just happened to be a guy from the national media. And he said, Plex, any predictions for Sunday? I'm like, 23-17. I wake up in the morning, this national headline. And it came up the next day, and I had to own it.
If Plaxico said that,
then that's who it's going to be. Simple as that.
The whole team. That's how it works.
We rallied.
I think when I saw him say that, I was like, my goal was that they wouldn't score a touchdown.
We in baseball, like, yeah, we're going to back you up. Plaxico, you said it, we're going to back you up.
The one thing that sticks in my mind, when he said that, and then Tom Brady comes back and says, well, I guess we can't score any points, you know, 17 points. Oh,
we're only going to score 17 points? Okay.
That stuck in my mind. And we were the most relaxed we've ever been. I mean, Coach Coughlin, first of all, has an In-N-Out burger truck come up. And you see him out there with ketchup running down his cheek, eating an In-N-Out burger, going back for seconds. It's like, this is surreal.
That struck those guys as so. I've heard Strahan tell that story. He said, here it is, the biggest game of his life. He's standing out in the parking lot with the stuff from the burger running down his face, just like everybody else. They were all doing the same thing. We were all eating the hamburgers. Kevin Gilbride was out there, too, with like one of those big things. Boy, they were good, I'll tell you that.
What's up, Giant fans? It's Sam Madison. Of course, you're watching Sam Cam right here on Giants.com. We're here in Phoenix, Arizona. We've had a great flight out here. Guys are well rested, and hopefully we can do the job that we came out here to do. But right now, I'm about to go and get me a couple of In-N-Out burgers.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
It must be pretty good. Look at Rich Swarby. He over there. He ain't taking no time.
I'm about to sign off, but I'll catch you a little bit later on tomorrow, and hopefully it's with a W.
Really cool time in Glendale, and of course, you know the rest is history. One of the other cool things that happened, all the players had to wear black shoes. Eli Manning dyed Richie Soybert's shoes purple, so he had purple shoes instead of black shoes. Look, all three of you guys played on championship teams, so you can relate to what that piece was all about. Something that you remember from 1986, the week leading up to the game?
The one thing that really stands out, and I know that Mr. Banks probably was going to say this, somebody had the brilliant idea to dress up as like Supermen and with capes and all of this stuff. And I wasn't so keen on it initially, but all of the linebackers were dressed in the same way. And I'm thinking to myself, at the time I'm thinking, this is not going to harm anyone or anybody. But it wound up being a big deal.
Probably our final dress rehearsal before the game at the stadium.
The Saturday before the game.
And here comes Gary Reasons just dumping Superman uniforms in our lockers. Come on, we're going to take a picture together. And we're like, what is this? Come on, we're going to take a picture together. And you could see, like, the faces in that picture was like, why are we here? Mm-hmm. It was a lot of angry.
But it's a good thing that there was no internet at that time, because that would have been trending all over the internet.
What did Parcells say as you guys were putting on a Superman uniform?
It was in and out. We did it. Took the picture, but it went viral. But, I mean, look, we were a group that, if something like that happened, this is the guy who took us in the middle of the Washington Redskins stretching routine pregame and told them we're going to kick their butt. So, obviously, if we did it, we were going to back it up.
All right, we are out of time. Harry, Carl, Howard, Merry Christmas to you and your families. And we thank you for joining us here on Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop. On behalf of the New York Giants, we'd like to wish you and your families a very healthy and happy holiday. Here's the Giants' holiday wishes.
What's up? Can I get a high five? What up, man? How you doing?
I can sit right here.
What's up? I'm Evan. Nice to meet you.
Go. This the man. How you doing? Oh, my God.
There we go.
Well done. Good job.